Blog Talk Radio.
Centers on the mission of conscious capitalism, an international organization started by Whole Foods co-founder and CEO John Mackey and Michael Strong, by featuring businesses who use business to elevate humanity. The Conscious Capitalist Show focuses on spreading the awareness of the conscious capitalism business framework and core principles of higher purpose, stakeholder orientation, conscious leadership, and conscious culture. Conscious capitalists are entrepreneurs and business owners who endeavor to create financial, intellectual, social, cultural, emotional, spiritual, physical, and ecological wealth for all their stakeholders. We are committed to making a positive, measurable difference in the world. Your host for the Conscious Capitalist is Christopher King, who goes by King. King is the president of the D.C. chapter of Conscious Capitalism and author of the new book titled Connecting with Intent, Why Social Capital is More Valuable Than Financial Capital. He is the founder and CEO of King Connections, a benefits corporation that is a business leveraging consulting firm that specializes in developing innovative, customized business systems. King Connections helps clients connect with intent to build, manage, and leverage social capital to create high-value, connected, engaged communities. King is a co-founder of the Conscious Success Academy, an online academy for empowering individuals to become mentally and financially free. King is a community activist and leader and is a board member of the Montgomery County Housing Partnerships. King is a writer, speaker, problem solver, and self-claim leveraging connector who believes that happiness in life is when you love unconditionally, serve dutifully, and live with intent. Ross Girardi, Vice President of the D.C. Chapter of Conscious Capitalism, founder and managing director of Conscious Management Consulting, a firm that is dedicated to improving the world by upgrading the organizational cultures and leadership of businesses, government agencies, and military units. Ross is committed to great corporate cultures in the world. His noble cause is to help his clients move forward while remaining in alignment with the core values of the organization's employees. To this end, he is aligned with and operates from his own core values of moving forward in integrity, authenticity, and commitment to higher purpose. Ross believes that everyone has meaning, purpose, and something unique to contribute to the world. He is committed to assisting his clients with unleashing the great gifts of all employees. Ross is also the co-founder of the Conscious Success Academy.
I'd like to welcome all our new listeners for 2015
Today it's going to be a great show. We're very excited to, ladies and gentlemen, we had several technical difficulties today getting the show started, but I believe we got those things worked out. Again, I'm your host, King. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's show, The Conscious Capitalist. Today we have a very exciting show. We're going to bring you a different twist on how we go about doing a Conscious Capitalist show. Primarily, this year we're going to bring you much more compelling information, and we have a new co-host that's going to be joining us by the name of Willis Victory. Allow me to introduce Willis Victory to our listening audience. Willis Victory is the CEO and founder of Willis Victory Enterprises, which consists of numerous companies. Willis Victory Enterprises is home of the Global Victory Capital Investment Firm, Phase 7 Media Group, Inc., and the Stars of Victory Entertainment Group. Willis is well-trained and developed in managing international relationships, international finance, partnerships, and negotiations. He possesses great communication, presentation skills, and excellent relationship-building skills. Willis is great in working under pressure and adapting to changes in the business environment. In addition to his skill set, Willis has a very strong overall knowledge of global economics, international business, law, and the sports entertainment markets, private equity funding, gold investing, security funding for films, and business venture stock investment opportunities, the New York Stock Exchange and national markets, domestic and national negotiations, domestic and national relations, consulting, coaching, acquisitions, commercial real estate and national partnership and alliances, and his list of experience and expertise goes on and on. I'm not going to hold up any more of allowing you all to hear from my new co-host to the show. Welcome, Mr. Willis Victory. Welcome to the Conscious Capitalist, Willis. How are you doing today?
Very well, King. Thank you for your introduction. I appreciate it.
And again, I'm excited to have you on the show, even though we have a few technical difficulties. I guess that's what happens when you switch over to a new format. But bringing you on the show, today's topic is talk about connecting. And we want to talk about, in particular, connecting with intent. Now, for those of you all who listen to the Conscious Capitalism show and you know me as in King Connections, you know that my philosophy, my mantra is connecting with intent. And so this year I wanted to bring on a new host who understands that and operates within that same mantra, that same mindset. Because we both understand that we talk about what connecting with intent is, so we're going to define that as we go forth within the show. But really understand the importance of how, if you connect with intent, how you can build, manage, and leverage strategic relationships for your business. And that's really what business, in our viewpoint, really is. And so, Willis, I want to get your perspective on how you view connecting with intent.
Sure. To me, King, connecting with intent is based around a true intention. And a lot of times, as you and I have discussed in our meetings in Washington, D.C. And elsewhere around the country, we focus on money and business, and networking is a part of our money chain. With that, what happens is you lose out on a true connection. And we speak of the 1% of population that kind of roams around the world and, you know, everyone seems to hate and controls everything. And the thing about the 1% population is that they're able to see who's really connecting with true intent. By that, a lot of this is based off of a true passion and identifying exactly what it is that we're after in all of our unique and original business endeavors. And they can be different walks of life, etc. However, if the intention is not there as far as what's genuine, and it's not a connection to money. It's a connection to who you are, what you believe in, and how much you believe in it. This is what the intention of the connection truly means. By saying that, I want to express that a true intention revolves around you and you knowing yourself and your self-mastery. This is what any true businessman can see beyond the actual obvious of let's gain a bunch of money and raise a bunch of capital and just do whatever, which, you know what, money's a part of this. And we discuss this all the time, King. Money's a part of everything that we do. It's the closest thing to oxygen underneath the sun. However, we haven't been able to identify and take ourselves away emotionally from what money does for us. We seem to chase it. We seem to gear all of our intentions around it. And King will know from dealing with me is I run from people who gear all their intentions around money, and they're never able to identify their true intention behind why they want money. And I hope that makes sense to you, King.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And I'm, as you know, in 100% agreement with you, primarily because we, as a society, we thrive off community, you know, and within a conscious capitalism mindset, a community, you know, our second core principle is stakeholder orientation. And of those stakeholders, the community is one of the five core stakeholders. And I would arguably say one of the most important, because without a community, you can't thrive. I mean, as human beings, our collection of cells are nothing but a community of cells. So as an organism, we are bound by our ability to communicate, and we need each other to survive and thrive. And so as we talk about the importance of building relationships, it's building those correct relationships. I like to call them, as they relate to business, strategic relationships, as you spoke of before. So many people are so focused on the transaction only. I can't tell you how many folks I meet on a daily basis who come to me and give me their card and ask me, well, they identify what their business is, and they tell me how I can help them, and then they follow it up with, can you refer business to me? Absolutely
sure.
Not. I'm not going to refer business to you because I don't
sure.
know you. There's no relationship there. And more importantly, you have not conveyed your value. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, for our listening audience standpoint, I wanted to have you on the show, because I know that you and I have shared purpose and we have like-minded in our principles and where we operate. And
absolutely.
Building relationships is important to you because, you know, we can even talk about our past for a second. And it took us a year, or actually about 16 months. I know you have that philosophy, 16 months, and I believe it's been about 16, 18 months, that it took
sure.
us for us to go from just being casual acquaintances to actually beginning to now indulge and engage in business.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that goes off the 16-month principle, King. You've identified me as being a financial free individual, one of the few you've seen kind of move with the dexterity that I move in, and I appreciate that. It's not all public, and this is one thing that people don't realize. And they want to advertise everything that they're doing. They want to talk about everything that they're doing. What that does is it oversaturates something. And what I liked about our conversations, King, is that we were concentrating on 1%. And why it's always going to be quality over the quantity. Everyone wants these massive networks. They want these massive connections, and they want to know everyone. When everyone's not worthy to be known, and ultimately, to be completely honest with you, you're never going to have the time to engage with everyone in the capacity that they deserve to be engaged with. So this is where priorities come in as well. And when we discuss the principles, it's very hard to speak about capitalism without concentrating on money, and it's very hard to separate it. And we have a university system. We have a entrepreneur system. We have a corporate system. We have a tax system. We have many different things that attach to these things that we all have to be responsible for annually or quarterly, depending on what it is that we do. Now, you have two different groups of people. You have the group of people that ignores that money's important. They're just so geared on their passion and purpose that they think that money's to be ignored, which it's completely not. That's very ignorant. Okay? And then you have another mm-hmm. side that they concentrate completely on money and not the networking principles, which is completely ignorant as well. And then you have the conscious capitalism group. Mr. John Mackey founded Whole Foods CEO, which concentrates on the principles and the character and the self-development of money in the economy and how important it is because what it does is it provides us freedom. It provides us freedom to remove stress from our lives. This is what people don't realize about money. They put a general evil on it, et cetera, but it removes a lot of stress from our lives if you really take a good look at it and how it allows you to eat, travel, whether you travel first class or private jet or whatever you're doing. They prefer private jet because it's not a lifestyle. It's an environmental thing. There's a lot of different things that go into commercial flying that people don't realize, and a lot of different chemicals that JP-54 fuel on a private jet it doesn't produce, which is more of an environmental issue and a conscious issue than it is a flamboyant issue. However, not being informed, it puts anyone in the dark regarding consciousness and money. These are always two very hard topics to kind of blend in together. And then we bring in passion, everyone's dream. Everyone has a dream. Whether they admit it to you or not, whether they're following it or not, they have a dream, okay? They have something inside of them that they have to do in order to be happy, satisfied, successful, then make a lot of money, okay? However, we put the fourth principle I just said in front of everything, which causes a lot of unhappiness. It's almost a riffle of effect. And we'll go into what to look for in a strategic partner is a character. There's always a character that a strategic partner should have, and it should be very similar to yours because no matter what you're doing in life, you're going to attract like-minded people, which is why you should look at the people that you eat dinner with, that you spend most of your time with, that you like to hang out with, because those are all reflections of yourself ultimately at the end of the day, okay? And then we'll go on to a level of success. What level of success does this person have? Is it a publicized level of success? Is it a success that this person's family celebrates, which may not always be success? They may just be the most successful person in their family, which may not mean anything at all. Or is it a level of success that you endeavor to be at in some place that you desire to be at? Those levels of success are very secretive. They're very peaceful. As King knows how I live in peace, and I believe in peace, and I believe in stillness, and I believe in quietness. Reason being, everything is acquired during those times. And, of course, we're going to have public times, which is why I'm on the radio now and why we have TV and we have magazines. That we do. But we hide these things, not in an attempt to deceive or manipulate. It's to only provide to the deserving part of the population that are not going to manipulate or deceive or turn into your competition, which is very important. And King and I have discussed this topic on many occasions. Then we'll go to their connections. Who do they know? And how do they know them? When you meet a person and you see the quality of people that are in their circle, that they call all the time, that are their counsel, that they confide in, that's actually the level of success that this person has achieved. Because wise men, as we can go back to biblical rhetoric, keep wise counsel, which would explain a circle of operation of all people. You only spend your energy around people who are on the same mission as you are, which is why it's called a strategic alliance. Okay, yeah. I hear a lot in the youth speaking about being hungry and grinding and hustling, and that's all great. That's an energy, which is great. Energy creates everything. We all know that. But if it's not directed properly and it's not focused properly, energy can be a waste of our time, and it can be a waste of our energy as well. And it's something we can never get back is time and energy, which is why energy is almost like a plastic. It has to be recycled and rekindled and refreshed, which means that it has to be sent off into the proper circles of individuals in order to come back and actually stimulate you, or else it may frustrate you, putting out your energy in non-deserving circles or with non-deserving people and individuals. Then we'll go off of a level of influence, a positioning, a reputation, okay? What kind of position does this person have? What kind of respect do they really hold in their circles, vices, what we may think, which will gear me to social media. Social media can be a great tool. There's no doubt about that. All right? Also, it can be a manipulation of something that is happening or something that is not happening to draw you in. We say a picture tells us 1,000 words. It absolutely does. And also a frequency of what's going on with pictures and et cetera, which we understand that they can be manipulated as well, tells us 1,000 words as well. That a lot of people that spend time on these networks, they're actually trying to publicize without actually telling you. And it's not a core principle that they're doing, because no one doing something is not going to tell you exactly what they're doing. They'll actually share with you. There's no secret behind it. There's no manipulation. There's no ill intent. There's no anything outside of the true intention of connecting, expanding, and also expanding the conscience of people. Because when you're doing that, generally, there's nothing to really hide. If you're going to do something, then you might as well be upfront with it. It's going to be ridiculed. Everything is going to be ridiculed, no matter what, at the end of the day. All right? When you're true about your intention, you kind of look past any ridicule and any critique that you may take along anything you're doing, business, making money, or anything, because you have a genuine intent behind it, which will allow you to take a step back and look at people and individuals in collective conscious, observatively, versus them looking at you in a way that is something to be critiqued or something to be suspicious of or anything of those sorts. And we always hear those things. And we'll go to a number five of strategic partner. We're going to talk about intent, principles, passion, and also commitment to service. Anyone who doesn't have commitment to service is almost not worthy to you in your inner circle, because there's going to be selfishness attached to that. Then I'll go back to a point of commitment to service that people use to promote themselves, and that may not be genuine as well, which is why it's important to identify yourself. And when you know yourself, you're able to understand all things around you, which is always important in money. Or, you know, we hear a lot in America, we hear a lot about careers. You know, internationally, as I travel, I hear a lot about means of exchanges. But in America, I hear a lot about careers. Now, I don't know which one is more valuable than the other, but I choose the means of exchange versus a career, which a means of exchange can be a palace, jewelry, gold, silver, different assets that we all have to exchange with one another that bring value to another person or a group of people or a society or a country. A career can ultimately only bring value to yourself. Now, you might look at me thinking I have a career or I have a intention or I have certain things, but ultimately I just have a purpose. And my purpose is sharing. As King can relate to you, I've been to several conscious capitalism meetings. I've spoken at several of them. And one thing I go into is I don't need anything from anyone. I come in open-minded. I don't need anything. What I see at a lot of events and people promoting themselves and doing different things is they need something. And there's no way you're going to gain something always needing something. We all really just need each other. And that goes off into another subject as well. And I know King can collaborate a little more on this, is we don't need things and money. We need each other. And the reason our society is going in the direction it's going is because we don't have the right intentions. We all are promoting ourselves.
Absolutely. And well, let me interject to your point. You know, Carl Jung once said that the meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there's any reaction, both are transformed. And so if you think about that, the possibility of connecting with intent to another individual, another spirit who may have the same, who you may have shared purpose with, who may also have the same type of core principles that they govern their lives by that you do, and more importantly, have that desire and that drive to make a meaningful difference in the world, to live their legacy as opposed to leave a legacy, then if you two connect, and you connect with being honest, you connect with integrity, and more importantly, you connect with the intent to create something that you cannot do alone. And my definition and from my experience, that is when miracles happen. That's when you see things that were, could never possibly have been created had those two folks not come together. You know, Napoleon Hill talked about that in his book, sure. The Mastermind, and how you have a mastermind with individuals, and how with a mastermind, when folks come together, it's more than just like a team of folks agreeing to work together. It's a synergistic process that can actually create, you know, where 2 + 2 or 1 + 1 can equals more than 2. It can equal 3. It can equal 4 because exponential growth comes out of that third mind being created. And see, what you're talking about as far as in which you've lived, and you know this, you know, you've lived a life of integrity. You lived a life of focus on creating value. But it all started with, you know, the starting process we talk about, this kind of backing up for a minute. The starting process is self-awareness, understanding who you are and having knowledge of self, because you can't be a person of integrity to someone else if you can't first be a person of integrity to yourself, you know. And that's something else that Stephen R. Covey talks about when he talks about the first whisper of conscience. What is that first whisper of conscience that comes to your mind when you're sitting alone, and you talked about earlier that quiet meditative thought when you're sitting there? What's the thing that comes to your mind? All that speaks to your character, and having control of that is the mastery of self that I'm actually referring to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll cover a very sensitive subject, which most don't like to hear in business too often. Okay, it's a God, a spiritual venture that we're all on. Because the number one rule to anything that we're doing in life, especially if it's equated to success, is know thyself, which basically equates to know your creator. All right, and there's many different religions, and I want to clear something about religion. Is if you look it up in Webster's Dictionary, it's really something that people do habitually. It doesn't necessarily have a connection to God or your spirituality or yourself. Okay, so we have a major division, not just in America, but in the world, based off of religions. Okay, if you look at most religions, and most people are too prideful, or they're too stuck on whatever they're doing to go and study other people, which is why we have segregation that is not always linked to race, is because they're stuck on upbringing, tradition, and things of such, not actually exploring and understanding, which leads to another conscious capitalism point. And I'm going to say this to a reference to Mr. Mackey, who founded the group, and why he founded it. And I've done a lot of due diligence, and you understand my level of education and observation regarding all these things. And Mr. Mackey was more concentrated on bringing a new level of being and feeling through health and taking away disease and things of such. It wasn't linked to money. And this is what most people do not realize about your solitary minds, your billionaires, your 1%, is they're not out here to publicize themselves. They're out here to publicize their cause and exactly what they are doing and how they are linked to humanity as a whole, not just helping people they believe in or people they were raised around or anything. It's an open mind to help it all humanity. That's what this is really all about. And the way we bring a union with a conscious level of thinking and God and spirituality and money, which usually don't go together, is we bring an understanding of what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes and to actually understand where they're coming from and to be able to extend our hand, and they extend their hand back to us, not just with money and materials and opinions, but also an expansion of understanding of an education of oneself. And I speak to King about this a lot, and we sat down and spoke about this subject, is when we speak of capitalism, we speak of division. We speak of money, dominating, winning. Those are all verbs of division. We all know that. When we're speaking of unity, we're actually speaking of bringing people together through love, uniting, and ultimately bringing the conscious together, versus dividing them. This is what most nations and all people are very good at. They like to divide and compete with one another. We see that a lot in the hip-hop generation. We see that a lot in the pride of America. We just brought in our first black president, you know, 7 years ago, whatever have you. Now, we celebrated that. People celebrated that. They made it a point of making history around that. But ultimately, they forgot to bring in that it was a conscious development that actually happened that brought all people together. It wasn't a racist thing. It wasn't a biased thing. And it wasn't a black president. It's someone who's open-minded to the world and not seeing color. And we failed to actually realize that and mention that with everything that we were talking about. And our economy has improved because of that, because our relations have improved, because our conscience has improved. And I know you can agree with me, Mr. King.
I agree with
you. And I'll let you go off into the next subject.
You know, to your point, when you spoke about John Mackey and conscious capitalism, you know, and the fact that the one percenters are more about sharing and living a cause, that's a very profound statement. And I really want to bring more attention back to that. Because, you know, a lot of folks don't really understand about capitalism, you know, the fact that you look at the father, so-called father of capitalism, Adam Smith. He said, to feel much for others and little for ourselves, to restrain our selfishness and exercise our benevolent affections, constitute the perfection of human nature. And what happened is that people distorted and left that, omitted it out of Adam Smith's view of capitalism, and they came up with more of a Milton Friedman version, which he says you put the bottom line of business is the bottom line, that you want to maximize your profit as opposed to creating value and having a higher purpose for what you do. And I know that you are a person of, and that's why, you know, we came together, is because you are a person of principle. And that is what I look to connect with individuals. Again, as we talk about connecting with intent, is that connecting with a person who has principles is so much more rewarding and so much more fulfilling from a relationship context than anything else that you can actually have. And that's what people really don't realize. As they go out here and they go through networking events and they're passing out business cards and they're just trying to get some form of relationships established, because they understand that you need to have folks in business. And you need to have relationships in business to be successful, and more importantly, to be sustainable. But they lack the understanding of how to go about making those relationships work. And I can remember, and I'm sure you can talk about this as well, Willis, as far as how you've come across people in business in which there was a lot of money to be made from the relationship, you know, as far as from it made good business sense. But you didn't feel the connection from them as far as their sincerity, the sincereness in them, their integrity in them, and you didn't really feel that connection to their spirit, that energy that we all are. You didn't feel
absolutely
that. And so
and I'll
you
interject,
chose
Mr.
not
King,
to do business with them.
You have seen me turn down millions of dollars yourself.
Yes.
And you've also seen me very giving with my money, because I'm not attached to it. And you see me do that anonymously. And you've also seen me do that very freely, which is what I believe in. That's the ultimate core of investing. That's what people don't realize. They want to invest in the stock market. They want to get real estate. The first thing you need to learn is give to people. That's almost a connection to tithing of a 10%, which is why I encourage nonprofit organizations. And we spoke of these things in a financial structure as well, to where you control your tithing. You're 10%, and you know what you're giving, because you're going to have a greater feeling about that, because you're going to see the effects of the lives that you have on people. That's what's one of my major things, is every day I wake up, I make sure I give. It's not to me. It's not to my investments. I give to people that can't give me nothing back, okay? Nothing. There's nothing they can give me back. There's nothing I want back from them. When you find those kind of people that will wake up and do that every day, besides looking for something of themselves and to add value to themselves, because this is what I see and I observe in society every day as a quiet one percenter, I observe it. And I come from a very judgmental place in life. I come from a very economically depressed place in life, and I come from humble beginnings to know that people do not know how to add value to themselves. They consume at a rate that they know how to add value to others, and they think that actually adds value to them, which is completely reverse of anything you're ever going to get as far as a principle in life, is you add values to others, which means if I have to give you something of value, let's just say a Ferrari for a car, and I get nothing back, and I drive around in a car that's less than yours, I don't mind because I know my value. And I know I can get that car at any time. You might look that as a life-changing experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because
you know,
most capitalism is attached to materialism.
Absolutely. Now,
which
you know, one
is
of things
not,
it's
not
that,
true at all.
One of the things I wanted to you know, have the listening audience understand about you, because, again, as we talk about connecting with intent, and I alluded earlier to the first connection you want to make is connection to yourself. And one of the core things of connecting yourself is really controlling your thoughts, understanding who you are. And I just kind of want you to share with our listening audience, what are some of the ways you go about controlling your thoughts, your daily rituals and habits that you go through?
I appreciate you bringing that up. And you know one thing I refuse to do is talk about myself. So you got to make me do that, all right? I'm very meditative, okay? I'm very quiet. I live by a beach. I have two beach homes, and one thing I make sure I do is I make sure that I connect to quietness and stillness. And I make sure most of my conversation is not with people unless they have the right intention, okay? I don't just socialize. And you know that about me also, just from being around me and watching my level of givingness in different things, is I make sure I don't just socialize. I make sure that I can bring the right energy. I don't have to decipher through things, and I can be a genuine person to everyone. And I do that in stillness and quietness. And mm-hmm. as you know, I circulate in Hollywood. We'll have a guest on Monday that's going to join us, very well-known actor, actress, and director, producer. Okay. With that being said, I'm able to keep quiet while making noise, if that makes sense. And yes. I'm able to do that in a way that is not highly publicized. I don't have to self-promote myself. I think self-promotion is very ugly. I think it can be very manipulative. I think it can be very deceptive. So mm-hmm. I also engage into patience at the level of nature does, which means that I connect with intent, but also, as you can see, King, I'm very patient with the intent of the connection. As we talked about earlier, we turned down millions of dollars. This is just in the last 48 hours because no money's not good. I mean, absolutely not. We see what no money can do. It causes poverty. It causes stress. It causes bad health, disease, wrong eating habits. But all money's not good either, which means you have to be patient in what you're doing with money and your generativity. And when I say that, I say that with the most passion and fervency I could possibly ever tell a person, is what's going on in the world today of promotion and you having to do certain things to get where you're at, it's not getting you anywhere.
Right.
It's not getting you around the quiet minds. It's getting you to more events. It's getting you to write more resumes. It's getting you to interview more times or audition, whatever it is you're doing. And then also it's getting you around people who maybe would rather not engage with you, but they will because they see something to gain, if that makes any sense to you.
Yes.
Which, when there's people around you like that, the energy will never, ever evolve into something that's going to manifest itself into the physical form. Absolutely not. Impossible. When we're
now,
talking about capitalism, go ahead, Mr. King.
No, I wanted to ask you now, because one of the things that we do on the Conscious Capitalism show is our listening audience loves to hear what our guests think about as far as what they're passionate about, you know, and how they view their purpose in life. And so I'd like to ask you to define what do you view as your purpose in life, and what is your passion?
Passion and purpose, they go together. My purpose is to be genuine, always, okay? And when you're genuine, hard work comes behind that and different things, but let's not discuss the obvious. That's what coffee shops are built for, which is why you see people frequent those things a lot. Let's discuss the passion and fervency of how you want to live underneath the sun. You have one life to live, all right? And when we talk about this, we speak this in a way that, you know, it's a loose speaking. We speak in a way that, you know, life is family, it's church or different things. It should never be put in that kind of compartment, because you're only limiting your life, to be honest with you. Life is expanding in a way that you never imagined. That's how you live a life. And
absolutely,
you and I discuss transition a lot. It's a peaceful transition almost into dying. But how do you consciously live that way until you no longer know you're alive anymore, to where you're always alive? That's my passion, the transitional part. Not just connecting and making money. As you know, we've made enough of that. We've done enough of that. We talk about different things because that is not something that we really endeavor to connect to. We actually get rid of that at a pace, whether we give it or spend it or consume it, more than you'll ever imagine. But we use it to connect.
Mm-hmm.
We use it to put us in different environments and to remove stress to connect. Because for some reason, as we talk about means of exchange, that means if we're exchanged, we're something of a note that allowed people to get together and actually be able to eat together in peace and do things in peace. It wasn't self-promotion. It wasn't a career. Career is something that, Chris, we speak about in a way that we all live amongst each other in careers. I do this and you do that. Does that bring us together?
No, it
absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, when we speak of generativity and resources and things of such and means of exchange, that always brings us together because we're all unique in a certain way that we have to trade. And if
as
we trade
fact,
outside of an egotistical way of trading, then we all celebrate one another. We just don't tolerate each other. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying. And let me pause you right there, because I want to ask you a question right on that subject there, which is, again, within this first connection you're making to yourself, is I look at the next sub-item on that is understanding your value. And so my question is, at what point did you become confident and then competent in your value and understanding what value you brought to a relationship?
What I did is I rid it all attention, and you have to get rid of everything you know. Even Jesus couldn't perform miracles in his own hometown. You understand that. So you have to rid of everything you know, which means you have to move to a place where you're celebrated and not just tolerated. And people only celebrate passion and purpose. They don't celebrate anything else. They can get that anywhere. No one's looking for that. It's like a music producer. No one's looking for music. You know that, right? They can find that anywhere. You know that, right? They're looking for the passion and purpose behind the music producer or the movie producer or the businessman. You can find these things anywhere. But who has that special, unique thing when everyone else is doing the same thing that they can stand out? You can only connect that to your purpose, which is knowing a creator. Whichever one it is, we can't just speak of Christ and different things, because we have a colorful world. And that's why I brought religion into play, is because everyone gets stuck behind religion. If you're not my religion, then really I don't talk to you too much. You're kind of evil. Or if you're not of this economical status, then, you know, really I don't want to deal with you because you have no value. You can't help me. which is not connecting with intent. You understand that? Intent is the intent to connect.
Yeah.
Consciously. You cannot be judgmental while you're connecting consciously. It's impossible. It actually bridges a gap of communication, which equates to more peace, more love, more business, more capitalism. But we're going to speak about the latter two things lastly, because you need the first two things first.
Absolutely.
Who is patient
Absolutely.
Enough to actually endure these things? Because I don't meet a lot of business people or a lot of people who want to get their dreams across that they want to wait for you or they want to be patient to build a relationship. They want what they want right now. Right now. And they'll say anything to you. They'll talk about God. They'll talk about principle. And they'll talk about a lot of different things. But ultimately, their bottom line is money. And then they don't realize that's why they don't have a lot of it, or a lot of it's recycling out of their life, going to different things. Because they don't understand that that's not the purpose. That's not the focus. And anything you're focusing on like that, that is not of oneself, it's going to flee away from you. No one wants to hear these things, though, which is why there's no motivational speaker or no self-improvement speaker or anyone who's better than another, because ultimately this game is about principles. I have to follow them.
You said a lot of, I call profound statements within your statement back to me. You're asking your question, I'm sorry, because you talked about the fact, I think that should definitely be a quote, when you said you want to move to a location in which you're celebrated and not tolerated. I think that's definitely a very profound statement. I wanted to bring light back to that, but I think folks really need to think about that and really what that means. But I definitely want to continue to move on through Get Our Listening Audience opportunity to really understand how you function. And so we've kind of set the context. So the last section I want to deal with under the first connection, being yourself, is what are you feeding your mind? Because what I believe, as you connect with someone and you evaluate and analyze whether or not you want to build a relationship with someone, that most folks can be easily, and you know this as well, you can look at a person and pretty much sum them up. And I just want to quickly, give some examples of what I mean by assessing someone quickly to look at what kind of person they are by. Number one, what news papers or networks do they watch? What radio station are they listening to? What are their programs they watch on TV? What websites do they visit when they have time, when they look on the internet? And what videos are they watching on YouTube? And then finally, what books are they reading? And so with all that to me is what you're putting in your mind, which control your thoughts. And so now with that context, my question for you to share with our listening audience, I mean, of course I know this, is what are you feeding your mind that keeps you on that principle-centered path?
I'm based out of a TV station out of Ethiopia, which is where there's not a lot of positive media play. In America, you have the right story all the time, all right? You have the right context. You have excitement. You have sports. You have all these things. You really might not know what's going on with them, but you have all these things. Now, when you have a satellite in a different country, what you're able to do is you're able to see why they feel the way they do about certain things, which mostly is not based off of truth, which is you and I have discussed on the media satellite, and why I invested in the media satellite internationally was because we're fed off excitement in anticipation, not actually what's really going on. So we get ahead of ourselves or we get behind ourselves, and we very rarely celebrate or accept carpe diem, okay? Because we always feel like there's something else that needs to happen or something else that happened that we need to pay attention to. So that's why we like sports, which can be the most manipulative thing in the world. But everyone watches them, which is why the Super Bowl, they make a lot of money off of just advertisements, because they know their audience right there. They know how many people are going to be sleeping for 4 or 5 hours, which creates the perception of the media. With that being said, what I feed myself is it's not of the masses. It's not of sports. Me being an ex-athlete, I understand that there's preparation in that that's ugly. There's a lot of ugly things that go on in success that people don't realize. But people, they celebrate the success of everything. They love it. That's why they like the Super Bowl. They might not watch the whole season, but they'll watch the Super Bowl. and they'll sit there. Mm-hmm. And they'll all get together, and they'll all be getting along for a certain period of time, which is almost shameful. But you won't see the other people for another year or so or whatever have you. Myself, working in the entertainment industry, I understood how the masses thought is they want to be seen. They don't care how they're felt. When you ignore that, then you're ignoring what you feed to your mind, you're ignoring what you feed to yourself, and you want me to revert back to what I feed myself. No one wants to hear this again, and I always tell you this. Stillness, meditation, quietness, understanding the masses, understanding how loud they are, understanding that they're very needy people, and understanding that there's a lot of the masses that are very valuable to our society that are very valuable if they can be pulled away from the masses. The masses, they need each other to be comfortable. That's why they feed each other. That's why we have bars, we have clubs, we have certain things that people have to socialize within, or else they cannot function. Okay? They need each other to feed into these environments. Because one thing we don't have anymore, we don't have sit-downs. We don't have conversations of establishment. We have propaganda. We have assumptions. We have different people promoting or self-promoting or trying to get here or get there. And they call this networking or politicking, when I call it smoozing. And on the air, I can't say this, but it's really kissing you-know-what, which is something you don't do. Because the people you're kissing you-know-what to, they don't respect you. And if they do respect you, they're just like you, which we're not promoting and celebrating people who are actually free. Because when you speak freedom, no one wants to hear that. So what I feed myself, I feed freedom. I feed freedom from fear of someone having to hire me, someone cutting my check, someone telling me how to think, someone telling me where to go, someone telling me where to live, or where I can live, or where I cannot. I seek freedom for all people regarding you can do whatever you want to do. But this is a game of principles. It's not something you can just feed yourself and make yourself all-powerful within. And I deal with many different people. You know this. I deal with actors, and you have evidence of all these things. All right? So with this being said, when you talk about people doing different things and wanting to go certain places, they push so hard because they're uncertain, and that's where aggression comes from. Okay, aggression comes from being uninformed. You got to be aggressive if you're uninformed. You have to. Yeah. You have to put your stamp down. You're not comfortable enough to say, hey, this is me. I do this for me. I don't need anything from you. Because one thing we're not teaching is we're not teaching liberation and freedom. We're teaching people how to work for us. And conscious capitalism was not started beyond that. It was started on a purpose of a person finding themselves and feeding themselves self-mastery things, vices, and education. Education is very important. It's important that we educate ourselves. Not important that someone else educates us. That's the least thing you can do for yourself.
You know, you said several times throughout the phone call, I'm sorry, throughout this interview that you believe in stillness of mind, of quiet mind. You know, and the great poet Rumi once said that the memory of God only comes to the quiet mind.
Now, absolutely. Machiavelli said that.
Deep. Yes. And that's
Machiavelli said that as well,
context.
And he ran off of a certain point, Mr. King, to go off of what you're saying. He ran off of a certain point that told you that anyone concentrating on anything outside of them, they will never master you. They're disturbed. They will never know you. They will only know the surface of what you present, which is why we have marketing. We have branding. You see the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see what's actually there, because who really wants to see that anyway? They're not displaying that right now. This is why our listeners they've multiplied, because they want to come outside of themselves too, trust me. They're looking at how people look at them. They're looking at how they think. And this is something not to get along with people. This is something to confront the mind states of people. This is conscious capitalism is something completely different that says, hey, we're not out here to make a bunch of money, even though we have that. We also have something that can change your life, that help you live longevity, and also help you accomplish what you need to accomplish within yourself, not you accomplishing things for me. I don't need you to accomplish anything for me. Once we realize that as human beings, we step outside of ourselves in a whole different light, that we have to be responsible for our own results, not our employer, not the government, not anything, because there's no control under a system like that. But if you tell a person that you don't need me to be free, you know, they might become skeptical to you, because if we told everyone that, then they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't do certain things. And a conscious level will show you how to be free. And this is something that's completely different, which is what I want to turn our audience on to. The government would not have to tell you that you need to be free if you were already free, which you already are. You do understand that, correct?
And let me add this to this, to the conversation, because we're getting to the top of the hour, and I definitely, one of the most important questions that we love to ask our guests is, and I think you've already said it, but I definitely want to give you a chance to say it within this context of this question, that is, what attracted you or what attracts you to conscious capitalism?
Well, outside of yourself, Mr. Mackey, I like the way you guys were living everything you said. You spent a lot of time with me, and we never discussed the topic of money. We discussed purpose, passion, connecting with intent, and most importantly, we discussed patience, which meant a lot to me, because there's nothing we're going to do or say that's going to transpire overnight. And we discuss breaking down skepticism and building trust, which takes time on any relationship.
Yeah.
And not one time did we discuss money. We discussed capital. We discussed intellectual properties. We discussed purpose. We discussed Mr. Omar Tyree, 6-time New York Times bestselling author, who wrote the book for the late deceased mayor, Marion Barry. We discussed things that elevated outside of ourselves what we were doing, which is the only reason I joined the group, the only reason we created partnerships and relationships, because it had nothing to do with us. It had everything to do with what was going on outside in other people, which exemplified to me selfless service, period.
And thank you for sharing that. I think that really gets to the crux of who you are, and I know that sets the foundation and the clear understanding of why you are involved with conscious capitalism, why I see the value in you that I do. And, you know, again, to reiterate to our listening audience, it took us 16 months to get to the point in which we began to talk about how we can do business with each other in a financial context, because the first 16 months of that, or the first months of those, was spent on us establishing a solid foundation and understanding, you know, are we principally centered? You know, because, of course, as you said before, everybody could talk that game, but what's great about being principally centered is that it comes out very quickly. You can find out if a person's principally centered by their statements, their actions, what their purpose is in life. You can't fake principles. You know, finally, you know, something else you said that I think it was very important. You talked about the fact that patience, how many people would be willing to have the patience to go that long? You know, as we talk about possessing your soul, you know, Sidney Poitier once said, you should possess your soul of patience. And that's kind of when I heard that, I began to think about how that really affects me. And so we reached the top of the hour. Actually, we're kind of going over a little bit. I know I wanted to give you a little extra because we ran into those technical difficulties in the beginning. But We've reached the top of the hour, and I want to thank you for being on our show, Willis. And now, would you like to share any contact or contact information with anyone so they can get in contact with you, or you'd like to get in contact with you through Conscious Capitalism? Please share any information you want to share with our listening audience. Hello, Willis. Actually, we may have lost.
I'll allow you to connect to Conscious Capitalism and what we've established.
Okay.
We'll keep
okay.
that chain of connection
Great.
Going on, okay? And I appreciate everything you guys have done for me and also what we're going to continue to do. I appreciate the audience. And there's a lot more topic discussion that we will have. And it goes outside of money, and I want to keep saying that. And Mr. King has identified me as someone who's financially free. He states that there's no one freer than myself, which I hold to be true because you see a lot of marketing and branding and different things that want to get your money. But that's not what we're after here. That's probably the last thing that I want. That's the last thing anyone wants if we just want to develop relationships. And we'll end the show off on based off of that, is relationships and people really doing what they intend to do versus what they want to do and who they are within themselves. Because there's a lot of selfish intent out here. Most people are really about themselves. And you won't realize that until you deal with them for a certain extended period of time. And you'll see that through how they lack networking. They lack capital, and they lack people who are really able to do things in their life because they're very selfish. And we're away from self-centeredness. And the last thing we want to discuss is money. We discuss purpose, and we discuss capitalism in a whole different light.
Exactly. Exactly. And I thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for being a part of my world, my life, and my purpose. And I want to let everyone know, if you want to get more information about Conscious Capitalism, you can visit our website at consciouscapitalismdc.org. Again, that's consciouscapitalismdc.org. And we have our connect with us on social media. Facebook,
.com/consciouscapitalism.
And then finally, I'd like to let everyone know that if you want to get more information about what King Connections is doing, you can visit my website. You can connect with intent to my network at kingconnectme.com. Thank you for listening today. And until next week, everyone continue to strive to be conscious leaders, live with intent, and be the best that you can be. Thank you.